for another. Jesus answered and said to them, Go show God, John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out for the in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Well, what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out but for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto thee, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is that Elias which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. For whereunto shall I liken this generation? It like unto children sitting in the markets calling to their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned to you and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, behold. And they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. If the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they were repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works had been done in thee, had been done in Sodom, it would have remained, until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he whosoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. The intensity of the gospel. You see it all here in this chapter. In a nutshell, it's now or never for Tyre and Sidon, Bethsaida, Capernaum. They got one more admonition, and then the curtain falls. One more check. Then he gives a loving, pleading, tearful, heart-rending altar call. at the end of the chapter, the intensity of the gospel. The intensity of the gospel is upsetting to the common, ordinary, professed Christian today. They don't want a preacher that's too intense. They don't want a church that's too intense. They don't want to be disrupted from their comfortability. Amen. But we don't want to ever become unintense in the ministry or in the church. Perhaps I should have called this the Pentecostal intensity, because Pentecost is not Pentecost without intensity. When he settled down to the norm, at ease in Zion, we're no longer Pentecost except in name. Amen. Sincere maybe, but not intense. Amen. An English philosopher was recommended to go among English churches and do nothing but listen to preaching for a good while. And he went from church to church and kept notes and listened to preaching. And finally at last he came back with this report. He said, most of the men that preached were sincere, but none of them had enough conviction to convert a titmouse. Amen. There was sincerity, but not intensity. Amen. It's not enough to be sincere. It's just one step. We get uncomfortable when a preacher's too intense. We get uncomfortable when members are too intense. We get uncomfortable when the deacon board is too intense. First deacon in the Bible, they called him on the carpet because he was too intense. They stoned him to death because he was upsetting all Jerusalem. Amen. August the 8th, 1871, on Sunday night, D.L. Moody preached to the largest congregation he ever preached to in Chicago. He preached on "What Will You Do with Jesus?" which is called Christ. At the end of that great message, that huge congregation, he said, "I want you to take this message home with you and think about it for a week." And then next Sabbath, he said, "We'll come back together again and decide what you will do with Jesus, who is called Christ." Sankey began to sing that altar song and never did finish his altar call, because outside was the rush and roar and the sirens and the ringing bells of the fire engines. And that night, Chicago burned to the ground. Nobody came back to church next Sunday. They didn't know that Chicago was sitting on a tinderbox. Amen. That proverbial cow would kick over that proverbial lantern and catch that proverbial barn on fire. I don't know really whether that's what happened or not. Some say it did, and it didn't. But the winds would pick up the fire and burn Chicago to the ground. They don't realize it this morning, but we're sitting on a tinderbox in Hamilton, right here at the end of time. What is intensity? Intensity is the exact opposite of routine. Amen. Intensity is the siren blowing and the flashing red lights of the police car, the fire engine, and the ambulance. But those things interrupt our sleep. Those things disturb our peace. Amen. But somebody's in trouble. And so we must be intense. Intensity is the emergency room. And a code blue call rings throughout the hospital. Amen. Somebody is dying right now. And they're going to have to rush to save them if possible. Intensity is the gospel preacher preaching like he ought to preach. As Richard Baxter put it, preach like dying men to dying men. Preaching as we will never preach again. Dale Saul went right along with the message. Richard's Sunday school class went right along with my message. Amen. Intensity is a Pentecostal church at its best. It is primitive purity. Amen. Intensity is a soul by conviction of the Holy Spirit who sees hell and the kingdom of God and realizes he's got to make a choice, and it's now or never. Amen. Pentecost? Go back to that first one. It was so intense that when the expenses were lacking, they parted their lots and sold their possessions and bought the price thereof and laid at the apostles' feet. That's Acts chapter 2. And then when it sagged again and the expenses were slow in coming, amen, they sold out again. And one of those men was named Barsabas. Some versions call him Barnabas. Amen. The same Barnabas that lost the lottery in the first round. Amen. He didn't make it. Matthias got to take Judas' place, but Barnabas didn't. But Barnabas didn't pick up his marbles and go home. Barnabas, in the intensity of the gospel, sold out and brought the price and laid it at the apostles' feet and struck out preaching the gospel. He became God's scout. He found Paul. Amen. He restored Mark. Amen. Barnabas did that. We have 14 books of the Bible because Barnabas found Paul when everybody was scared of him. We have St. Mark's gospel because Barnabas found Mark when Paul even canceled him out. Amen. Paul's message was too intense for a quitter, and he didn't think Mark was intense enough to continue on the team. But Mark learned his lesson that it was now or never. Intensity is, amen, the violent press into the kingdom of God. Suffer violence. Amen. A violent take of force. And every man presseth his way into it. That's intensity. Hallelujah. Intensity is the cry of George Whitefield. Intensity, praise God, is John Wesley riding his horse 5,000 miles a year, riding and reading while he rode. Amen. Arising early in the morning and preaching before the break of day. Amen. Writing a line of books, bless your heart. Amen. And fill one shelf in a library. Intensity is Jonathan Edwards preaching sinners in the hands of an angry God until men fell out in the aisles crying, "Have mercy on us." Mr. Edwards, amen, he read his message with his thick glasses because he was nearsighted. Amen. But after 3 days of fasting and prayer, you can even read with intensity. Amen. Praise God. There would be no more delay. No more. Amen. Intensity is when we cancel out our little mutual admiration societies in church and get down to business with God. Amen. Get off of it. Amen. They didn't like my preaching. They didn't like John's neither. Praise God. But man, you could hear that siren blowing clear down on the banks of the Jordan River. Wow! You could see that light of flashing. Amen. Clear down on the banks of the Jordan River. Curiosity got the best of them. Amen. They went to see what's going on. Amen. Jesus, what did you go out to see? A reed shaken by wind? Somebody clothed in soft raiment? No. Amen. He went out because John, even though he didn't dress with a three-piece business suit, amen, and a stylish tie, amen, he didn't eat at the most fashionable restaurants, amen. No, as a matter of fact, what'd you have for breakfast, John? Locusts and wild honey. What'd you have for lunch, John? Wild honey and locusts. What'd you have for supper, John? Locusts and wild honey. Amen. Came neither eating nor drinking like men do. But then Jesus was exactly the opposite. He, with the intensity of the siren, amen, he moved the operating room right into the home and made house calls to the publicans and the sinners and sat down at the table with them. Amen. And it was now or never for Matthew. Levi was his name, remember? He was a publican. Said, I need you, Levi. Hallelujah. Come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Praise God. And remember that little short fellow by the name of Zacchaeus? I know some people call him Zacchaeus. Amen. But I like it the way they pronounced it down in Arkansas. Zacchaeus, come down from there. This day I must abide at thy house. And with the intensity, amen, of a doctor making a house call, you, he performed the operation. Praise God. Another publican was swept into the kingdom of God. They criticized him for that, but he said, I'm not come to call good people, righteous people. And he could have said self-righteous people. But he said, I'm come to call sinners. Praise God. They that are whole need not a physician. Amen. Intensity. Man, this intensity weeded them out, didn't it? Even Jesus said in Richard's message today, amen, there be many called, but few chosen. Just a few would really get down to business with God. Just a few really cry out to God. Amen. Intensity is the end time. Amen. The end of time. Eternity staring us in the face. Amen. And we cannot sleep while souls are dying. We cannot drag nor flag nor allow passing, trivial, mundane fancies and fun of this world to slow us down. Amen. The men that have made their mark for God were men of intensity. Amen. You couldn't slow them down. Even in the higher places, you know, even in earthly worldly politics, the men that excel are men of intensity. Amen. Golda Meir, Prime Minister of Israel for a time. She was so busy and so intense. One of her aides told her, you need to take a vacation. She said, I don't need one. You take one. Amen. She didn't take vacation. She didn't believe in vacation. She was too intense. Amen. I don't like them neither. If I can't go to church, don't maroon me in some motel somewhere. Don't abandon me, amen, on a side street someplace and tell me to rest. Glory to God. I got a go-ee in my feet. I got fire in my heels. Amen. I got to be going somewhere doing something. Praise God. Amen. I got to be going to church reading the Bible, praying, amen, and talking about Jesus. Ew! Amen. I got to be preaching or hearing preaching. Singing the songs of Zion or singing or hearing them sung. Amen. Glory to God. Because it's the end of time. If anything ought to make us intense tonight, it ought to be the fact that here we stand on the very brink of eternity. Multiplied millions are plunging into hell because most of this world is lost. Multiplied millions. And if every one of us catch on fire for God and give our all and do our best, it'd almost be like spitting in the ocean compared to the seething pot of human need out there. Amen. Intensity. Amen. Intensity. Oh, glory to God. Intensity of Pentecost. You see, the Bible said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. That's what John said. In the white heat of his message, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to tie. Amen. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? What? Say it loud. Amen. You can't be still when you're around too much of that. Amen. Ooh, glory to God. The people don't like the intensity. The first steam engine, the Tom Thumb. Amen. The black man that was, or the man that was feeding the wood to the engine didn't like the pop-off valve, so he sat down on it and blew the engine up. Amen. Destroy our intensity. Amen. We'll explode. Amen. We need the kind of intensity, praise God. Amen. When we do blow up, we'll scatter the old-time religion all over the place. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. It's the end of time. We're facing the end of the age. And a lot of Pentecost is dying down. Now I'll tell you one thing about those that have gone before. Say what you will in criticism about those that are already dead and in glory and their faults and failures, but I'll tell you one thing. At their best, they was like a blaze of glory. They was on fire for God. Hallelujah. Hey, if we're smarter and we're better off, And we're more learned further down the road, and we know more about heaven, we know more about hell, we ought to even be more intense. Glory to God. Hallelujah. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. That, my friend, is intensity. And the violent take it by force. It's hard to have this disease without somebody catching it. You have a violent preacher, praise God, that's pressing in and claiming the promise. You got a chance of having violent church members that'll take it by force. Amen. I've seen a few churches is dangerous to get in the altar. If you didn't really want the Holy Ghost, you better not get in the altar in Harbor Lights Temple in Batesville, Arkansas. Amen, in 1950. Because they'd pray you through. Amen, to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Amen. Brother Jacobs, and that's, amen, from down in Damanette, Alabama, was preaching in Mobile camp meeting several years ago. He told about him and two of his buddies, amen, was in church together, and he was preaching, and three guys had came into the back of the meeting and made it up that they had go to the altar and act like they was praying through. Here they come. Amen. Two of them didn't stay in the altar very long, but one of them stayed longer. Brother Jacobson knew two of his buddies that was there would do what he told them. He said, let's get him. Amen. And they got in behind him in the altar, and when he started to get up, they pulled him back down. Amen. They held him in the altar till he prayed through. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah! That, my friend, is intensity. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. In 40 years of Live Wire, the author of that book told about being in a camp meeting. Amen. He said, there was a lady that had treated every preacher bad that ever came by. Amen. He didn't know it. He just got up and preached the gospel in the intensity and power of the gospel. Amen. He went back that night and invited her husband to come to the altar. She was sitting right beside him. Her husband said, I'll go if she'll go. He knew what kind of woman she was. And he knew, amen, what she had done to every other preacher. He said, I'll go if she'll go. He asked her and she said no. And he went back to him. And he said, did you say you'd go if she'll go? He said, yeah. He said, get ready. She's going. He grabbed that woman with her cussing and scratching and screaming and digging her heels in the ground, praise God, and started dragging her to the altar with her husband tripping along behind them. Amen. He threw her in the altar and her husband fell in behind them. Praise God, and both of them prayed through. That, my friend, is intensity. Sometimes the young converts have got it. The old ones kind of settled down. Amen. A.T. Gillette, after a career in football and after a career in teaching physics and in the university in Lexington, Kentucky. Amen. And finally retired from that because he said, if they couldn't get a communist in the United States to teach in the university, they'd ship off to Europe and get one. So he left the university. Amen. He went into construction work up in Hammond, Indiana. Amen. And there, one of his buildings, he went down to look at a hot water tank and it blew up on him. And that with all his other injuries, football, old football injuries, had him crippling in the church. Half dead on Sunday morning. Amen. That morning the preacher prolonged the altar call. He said, I feel like God wants to do something special this morning. Amen. Nobody came. Finally the pastor came back and talked to this fellow all bent over on a cane. He said, don't you think the Lord would like to help you today? And he said, he needs to do a whole lot for me. He said, come on. A.T. Gillette crippled up to the altar and left it all behind. God saved him that morning in a long altar call. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He, in his own personal testimony, said, I felt an angel take a hold of my neck and my Achilles heel and pull my back straight. Amen. That morning, God saved me and healed me and filled me with the Holy Ghost. And he said, I started laughing. And I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. And he said, finally, I told the Lord, Lord, you're going to kill me with joy. Amen. He hit the ground running for God. He loaded that Lincoln up with little kids until people wondered out loud, What's that old man doing to that carload of little kids? He was taking them to church. And that was his church bus. Praise God. At the age of 62, God called him to preach. Amen. He went back and got one of his old buddies they'd spent a lot of time with. Hauled him to church. At altar call, he went back to invite him to the altar. And with A.T. Gillette, red hot, on fire, intensity. Amen. He compelled him to come. And he said, I don't feel like it today. Well, he said, if you're not going to come to the altar, you can walk home, man. I'm not taking you home. Well, he said, if that's the way you feel about it, I'll come. Amen. And he came and got saved. Hallelujah. That, my friend, is the intensity of a new convert that spent his life in sin. Amen. It lived it up and fought and trained. Amen. And dove and crippled. Amen. All football injuries and injuries from his work. God had healed him and set him on fire and gave him a new life for God. He said, God, I'm old. Call a young man. I'm 62. God said, I'll make you like a young man. He drove across this country as high as 800 miles a day preaching the gospel. Amen. He wouldn't brook any interference at first. That old teacher would look down at our irreverent young people in church and he'd call them down. He'd call Deacon's kids down. He called a deacon's daughter down on the front seat of Silverwood Pool Gospel Tabernacle. Amen. If you keep that up. Amen. That don't make too good an advertisement for the evangelist when you call a deacon's kids down. Hey, if the deacons won't call them down, you need to call them down. Amen. Glory to God. With an intensity of holy fire, he preached and he prayed and he healed the sick and he cast out devils until he died. And children, don't you quit till you die. Don't lose your fire till you die. Amen. I'll see him introduce A.T. Gillette. Amen. And that 70-year-old man would take a run and jump onto the platform. Amen. And spring behind the pulpit and preach as if he was a young man. He refused to be anything but intense for God. Amen. We must refuse to be anything but intense for God. First, we need to realize what we're supposed to be doing, and that is saving souls from hell. Everything else is a sideline. Everything else we can do without if we have to and will. But the first thing is to save souls. The intensity of the gospel. Amen. God help us. Stand with me and let's pray. Father, amen. We've had a long time. Much longer than John the Baptist. Much longer to preach than Jesus. And sometimes because we have a long time, we get settled. We get unconcerned. We get dilatory. We get bored. Lord, I pray that you call into play those hidden reserves in every child of God's life this day. Help us to refuse to die. Refuse to be anything but now or never intense. And I know, Lord, there's a price to pay. I know the world don't like it. But the souls we save have got a chance to also be intense. If we are. However few they be. I thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on. As we sing, let's call on Jesus. Let's claim the blood. Let's take it by force. Amen. Forget about everybody else. Forget about your pride. Crucify self and cry to God. Hallelujah.
Extended.